I'm Lila Garrett. Next on Connect the Dots, Israeli dissident Dr. Jeff Halper joins us on Israel's last chance for peace. Coming up right now on Connect the Dots. Good Monday morning. Welcome to Connect the Dots. I'm your host, Lila Garrett. With us now is Dr. Jeff Halper. Jeff Halper lives in Jerusalem, where he is coordinating director of the Israeli Committee Against House Demolitions. They call themselves ICAD. Born in Minnesota, he immigrated to Israel in 1973. Halper has been a peace and human rights activist for more than three decades. A second edition of his most recent book is An Israeli in Palestine, Resisting Dispossession, Redeeming Israel. It has just been re-released. The book traces Halper's work against the Israeli occupation. So, Dr. Jeff Halper, welcome to Connect the Dots.
Thanks for having me on.
It's a great pleasure to have you again. As a matter of fact, you were on our show a few years ago, and at that time you were the director of an organization called ICAD, and you are still the director of that organization. Describe ICAD to us.
Well, ICAD is the acronym for the Israeli Committee Against House Demolitions. We're a peace and human rights organization in Israel dedicated to ending the occupation totally and completely, whatever that means, two-state solution, a one-state solution, a 10-state solution, confederation, whatever that means, ending the occupation and achieving a just peace between Israelis and Palestinians.
And you believe that that's possible?
It has to be possible. No, I certainly do believe it's possible to do that.
So if you say a one-state solution, a two-state solution, a 10-state solution, whatever that means,
let's talk
about the reality of what that does mean. I have an article that you wrote called Rethinking Israel After 60 Years. And in it, you say the realization that a two-state solution, the only hope Israel has of remaining intact as a Jewish state on 78% of the land of Israel, is disappearing before our eyes. And you go on to say that the two-state solution is really not realistic.
That's right.
Describe that to us.
No, I think the two-state solution is gone completely, if it ever was a possibility. Look, I'm not sure what the solution is. In fact, we're an Israeli organization, so we don't take a particular position, two states or one state or what kind of one state or whatever, because we believe that's the Palestinians' prerogative. We can't tell them what the solution to the issue. It's their struggle in that sense. But what we do is we say there are certain elements that have to be in place for any solution to succeed. It has to be inclusive, the peace. It has to be economically viable. There can't be a two-state solution that's apartheid, for example. You have to deal with security issues. You really have to deal genuinely with the right of return of Palestinians and the whole refugee issue. And I think the solution has to be regional. I think you have to bring in Jordan and Lebanon and Syria, as well as the Palestinians in Israel. And whatever solution to the conflict there is, it has to be based on human rights and international law and UN resolutions. If all of those elements are in place, a lot of different solutions could work. It could be two states. It could be a democratic state. It could be a binational state. It could be a regional confederation. But if any of those elements are missing, I don't care what the solution is, it's not going to work. So we put the emphasis more on an approach to peace rather than on one particular solution or another that I think is going to emerge. I don't know if we know today exactly what form a just peace will take.
You put your emphasis on an approach to peace, which I think is very reasonable. And what approach to peace do you feel will work in the best of all possible worlds?
We have to understand that there are two peoples living in that country. I mean, whether there should be two peoples, whatever you think about Zionism and the history of Israel and so on, the reality is there's two peoples living there. And just like the South African Movement for Liberation said, look, you know, we have all kinds of peoples living in South Africa, including Afrikaners, that we don't accept their narrative, but they're here, including people from British backgrounds, including people from Chinese and Pakistani and Indian backgrounds. Whatever the end of apartheid is, it has to be inclusive of everyone. And that's all we're saying. Whether or not there should be Israelis, there are Israeli Jews, and there are Palestinians. And so any peace has to simply take that into account and be sure there are equal rights for both peoples, as peoples and as individuals. So that could be a two-state solution. I'm not taking that out, and there are Palestinians that favor a two-state solution. I think what's more workable is a one-state, binational solution. In other words, two peoples living in the same country. The problem with that is that binational states aren't very happy places. If you look at Sri Lanka and Cyprus and Lebanon and the former Yugoslavia and even Belgium. So it's a challenge. A binational solution isn't easy, but with goodwill, I think we could make it work. It seems to me that that's the only really way out, is a one-state binational solution.
Now, let's remind our audience that we're speaking with Jeff Halper, who is the director of ICAD. That's I-C-A-H-D.
Right, the Israeli Committee Against House Demolition.
Jeff, when you talk about two people living together, even though that's not a very happy solution,
right.
How do you see...
No, it's a happy solution. It's not an easy solution.
Well, you point out other countries in which it works in a very shaky way.
That's right.
It's not an easy solution.
Right.
Well, how do you see it working at all? The last time I was in Israel, the children didn't really go to school together in the schools. The Israeli Arabs were not permitted to join the army and get the advantages of joining the army, as I remember it. But they did have the vote, did they not?
They had the vote in a very formal way, but that's about all.
Explain that.
The Palestinian citizens of Israel, that are sometimes called Israeli Arabs, have the vote. But, for example, they're forbidden to live on 94% of the land of Israel, which is reserved for Jews. And as you say, they don't get housing benefits. There's no public housing built for the whole Palestinian community of Israel. In other words, they can vote, and they vote partly for general parties in Israel and partly for particularly Arab parties. But they don't have any clout. They don't really have any impact because they're marginalized in Israel. So just because they vote doesn't really give them much clout in the system.
Now, I have this article, as I told you, Rethinking Israel After 60 Years, which, Jeff Halper, you wrote.
Right.
And it says that Israel is in very good shape right now. Its economy is booming.
Right.
The shekel joined the 15 strongest currencies in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the economy is fueled by diamonds, arms, high-tech, security services, and tourism. And the conflict has been effectively removed from the public consciousness, as attacks inside of Israel have virtually been eliminated. And the question is this. When a country is in this kind of good shape, do you usually see a great movement for change within that country? I don't think so.
No, on the contrary, there's no movement for change in Israel. And that's why I'm in California, because we think that the only solution is going to have to be imposed from the outside. The international community, whether led by the United States or whether the United States becomes irrelevant and the rest of the world moves on without it, like Brazil is leading the movement to recognize a Palestinian state, regardless, the solution is not going to come from inside Israel. Israelis are living the good life. They don't care. And they feel completely protected by the American government, and especially by Congress. And they don't think Congress will allow any administration to touch Israel. And so they just don't care. They've isolated the Palestinians. They put them behind a wall. They have their army to deal with them. And they're living the good life. So that's why our work is mainly done what we call international advocacy. Going out, like I am in the Los Angeles area, speaking to civil society groups, to university groups, political groups, human rights organizations, trade unions, churches, whoever we can mobilize. And one of our tools, of course, is BDS, the Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions Movement, in order to replicate what was done with South Africa. If we can get this struggle for Palestinian liberation to the level of an anti-apartheid struggle, then I think, in a sense, we can pressure governments to do what they don't want to do, which is finally bring about a just peace. But it's not going to happen from inside Israel. The Israeli public doesn't care. They've been neutralized, in a sense. And so you have a situation, you know what, it's very much maybe like South Africa. in that the whites in South Africa could have lived with apartheid for another 50 years. It wasn't urgent for them, but when de Klerk finally came and said it's over, they understood it's over. I think Israeli Jews understand that the occupation is not sustainable, but you know what? As long as we can keep it going, that's great. So our job in the peace movement with the Palestinians is to create international pressures that in the end make the occupation unsustainable and force governments to intervene in order to end the occupation.
You are coming to Los Angeles, or you are in Los Angeles. Really,
that's right.
And you are going to be meeting with people to explain what the situation is in Israel.
That's right.
Yes, here we are on Monday, and tell us, what is your agenda? You'll be in town for the next 3 days. Where will you be speaking?
Well, today at noon, I'm going to be at the UCLA Law School. At 6 o'clock in the evening, tonight I'm at the Islamic Center of Hawthorne, talking about the occupation and Israel and the world's arms industry. Tomorrow, Tuesday, I'm at UC Irvine, and at 6 in the evening, I have a talk at the Student Center, also on the occupation, but I'm working on the whole issue of Israel's involvement in the world's arms industry, which is very interesting. So people are welcome to come to that, 6 o'clock at the Student Center in Irvine, at the university. And on Wednesday, first of all, it's not for the public, but I have a breakfast meeting with rabbis. How's that? That doesn't happen very often. And then at 2 o'clock, I'm at Cal State Long Beach, speaking about the occupation and apartheid in building LA3. At 7 o'clock, I'm at Cal State in Fullerton, at the Mackey Auditorium, talking about what I think this year, 2011, is going to be the year in which it all collapses and we can get on to maybe a just peace. So those are the places for the next couple of days if people would like to join us.
What do you mean it all collapses? What all collapses?
Well, I think we've gotten to the crunch year. Somebody tells me I write that every 2 years. but I think with what are called the Palestine Papers that show how absolutely weak the Palestinian leadership is, with the fact that Israel's occupation, we can see, is not going to end soon. Israel's building settlements like crazy. I think the Palestinian Authority is either going to resign or collapse in the next couple months because there is no political process going on. And if you put that together with what's happening in Egypt and Jordan and Syria and other places, I think the entire map of the Middle East is changing. And what would happen in the end if the Palestinian Authority goes, which it should go, is that the entire occupation gets thrown back into the lap of Israel. Israel would have to reoccupy the Palestinian territories, including Gaza. Certainly it couldn't allow Hamas to come into the vacuum. And the situation will be so chaotic and so violent and really so counterproductive to American interests, in a sense, that the international community, whether it's the United States or Europe and the other parts of the world, will have to intervene. So I really do think this is the year in which this occupation simply, it's enough. It's disrupting the entire global system, and the international community is going to step in.
Let's try to simplify what you believe in. Do you believe that Israel can remain a Jewish state?
No, no, it can't remain a Jewish state. For two reasons. First of all, the Jews never went there. You know, 75% of the Jews of the world say, we wish Israel well, but life in Los Angeles is kind of nice. We're going to stay here. And because the occupation has been made permanent by Israel, Israel has made this country between the Mediterranean and the Jordan River one state. You're not going to get a two-state solution. So Israel's created a binational situation, which means that half the population or more today in de facto Israel is Palestinian. So you can't have a Jewish state that only has a Jewish minority. So for those reasons, I don't think it's possible to do that. Israel's going to be transformed into a state of all its citizens. Now, what exact form that's going to take, I don't think we know yet, but that, I think, is definitely going to happen. Israel cannot be sustained as a Jewish state.
So you believe that Israel will perhaps someday become a mini United States and that it will have the kind of diversity possibly that we have here. Do you believe that?
Yeah, except the United States is different from the rest of the world, in case you haven't noticed. In the rest of the world, you have nations that precede the state. You know, the United States, they had no people here except the Native Americans, who are important. But in other words, you were able to develop an American identity that was neutral, because everybody that came here could be an American. In Israel and Palestine, like in other parts of the world, you're first of all Palestinian. And you're first of all maybe Israeli Jewish. And then you have to figure out, all right, how do these national groupings fit into some kind of a common state? So I think Israel would be more like, let's say, Britain, where you have England, Scotland, and Wales together. You see, there are three peoples that have been living together for centuries. They're sort of one country. They're the United Kingdom. But, you know, you've got a Scottish national parliament. You have a Welsh national soccer team. You know, they have that. And that's the kind of a binational kind of a state that I have in mind more.
Really?
The United States is not a model, really, for that.
So it's a very unique point of view. So now let's remind our audience again, we're speaking to Jeff Halper, who is the director of ICAHD, ICAHD.org. And if you want to contact him, you go to Jeff, J-E-F-F, at ICAHD.org. And is your appearance schedule posted there?
It should be posted on our website.
Which is?
ICAHD.org. But I'm sponsored by LA Jews for Peace, the Levantine Cultural Center, Jewish Voice for Peace, Friends of Sabeo, the Middle East Fellowship of Southern California, Muslims for Progressive Values, and Progressive Democrats of America, L.A. So all of these organizations, I think on their websites, would probably have my schedule as well.
Well, Jeff Halper, you do present a new point of view. I don't know about this right of return. I mean, if we were to start to discuss that, it would take the rest of the show, and unfortunately we don't have that kind of time.
Return is necessary for this whole...
Well, I don't know. I mean, somebody comes back into Israel after 6 years and says, excuse me, my ancestors lived here, and if you don't mind, move out because I'm moving back. I mean,
well,
how does the right of return work?
After 2,000 years, we're coming back. Excuse us. This is our country.
Right.
I mean, why could we do it after 2,000 years and they can't do it after 60 years?
Yeah, well, it's a ridiculous idea. However, everything you said about peace and about people living together makes
right.
very good sense. Jeff Halper, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks okay. for having me on.
And that's our show for today. We thank our guests, David Swanson, author of War is a Lie, Bob Edgar, president and CEO of Common Cause, and Dr. Jeff Halper, director of the Israeli-Palestinian peace group ICAHD.org, ICAHD.org. Connect the Dots was edited and engineered by Mark Maxwell. It was created and hosted by me. I'm Lila Garrett.